This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Precious Redeemer, we ask even tonight that you lighten us with your light, bring us into understanding, empower us, Father, with the force of life, and cause us to do and to align with the frequency of your Spirit. Thank you for what you are doing on the face of the earth at this time. Thank you what you are doing in the various nations of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity in harvesting and establishing people of all race, of all class, of all creed to participate in your eternal agenda. And thank you particularly, Lord, for granting us the privilege to be part of what you are doing. Father, we bless you. And again, we pledge allegiance as your grace and your Spirit helps us even to stand and to fulfill your eternal mandate. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to have everyone. How are you all doing? Glory to God. Some persons are standing. Pastor Godwin, why don't you sit here so that we'll have space for people to sit down. We have one more service in the studio before we step out. You know, we are in the studio for two reasons. First reason is, of course, the obvious reason. The elections, the tides were not predictable. And so we didn't want to take on unnecessary chances. We had to allow people to connect from via the handles on the internet. And then secondly, because of our transition, we should have been moving to our building, at least the first phase of the building. But for the issues we had with the FCDA, our diagram was not approved. You know how it is. You can't actually build a church. You're only permitted to build an event center. And for the nature of land we have and the location, we had to build something that is only 25% block and 80% tent. We initially considered the option of tent, but when we saw that the pricing and everything was over and above what we would require to build, and seeing that it's a temporary structure, we didn't see too much wisdom in it, and so we wanted to receive approval for something that was more lasting, and that process we are still pushing. We had a shorter cut that we should have taken, but we also know that because there is transition in government, anything you do will be probed, will be verified. We don't want to do anything that is not right in the first place, and also we want to do something that anywhere it's vetted, it should be according to the standard of righteousness. And so we realized so many things were to be done in a hurry, which is not actually according to standard. On that note, it was wise for us to exercise patience, wait for government to change hands, and then follow the process meticulously to ensure that it is done how it ought to be. Then we can begin the project. On this note, we've decided to get an event center. We knew our time in our previous place was over for many reasons. Most obvious is the fact that we were not allowed the room to grow. We can't have overflows there. We can't put speakers outside. We can't extend our frontiers. And you see that we were having too many people than the hall could handle. But because that's also a sensitive place, the central bank is just by the side and all of that, too many regulations were beginning to stiffen our protocol and process. And so we knew we had to leave, come what may. And so even though the building project was not completed, that was no longer a place we could stay. We needed somewhere where we could enlarge our tentacles. And so come next Sunday, we'll be in a new location. It will be announced and we'll be there for maybe another 6 months. By that time, we hope that we would have gotten our approvals and erected the structure that should be able to accommodate us. It's somewhere not too far. I think it's called OPIC Event Center. That's where When Women Pray uses for their prayers. And it's at Galadima Junction. You have easy transportation to Lokogoma, to Area 1. And so for those going to Lugbe and all of that, it will be easy for you to navigate. And so by next week, Sunday, we should be there. And that's hoping that the gubernatorial election will follow the peace and decorum that we are seeing. The battle is essentially a legal battle. We are praying for resources and for the intelligence requirement in the court to ensure that justice is done. We are not just fighting for someone to win. Anybody who wins in a free, fair, and credible election should be celebrated, congratulated, and supported. But in a situation where election is sabotaged, then the right thing should be done. So it's not a fight for someone to win, it's a fight for democracy. It's a fight for justice. And so we will keep praying and trust the Lord that the mandate will be given to the right person, and Nigeria would also be known as the leader among the other African countries, not just in size, but in equity, in justice, in righteousness, as an exemplary leader indeed. And so that's just that. The flyer will be projected at the end of the service. We'll just go into the word. Tonight, I want to share with us on something I consider very important, and I pray that it comes to every one of us by revelation. You know, in this kingdom, you are only permitted to have what you see by light. You say, as far as your eyes can see. So if you don't see it by revelation, it's not a possession. And that's why Paul praying in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17, he said that the God of heaven may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And then he went further to accessing things that are available to you. He said the things that are freely given, the wealth of the riches of the saints in light. So you can't tap into any reality except as you get it by revelation. And so tonight, my hope and prayer is that you will not just interact with these things on the strength of intelligence, but you will have them by revelation. Praise God. And so tonight, I want to deal with a subject very fundamental, the character of faith. That's what I'm dealing with tonight. The character of faith, or what you call the essence of faith. What really faith is about, and what truly matters in dealing with the subject of faith. And so we are not just dealing with the dynamics of faith, we are dealing with what makes faith so essential. And so that as you engage the corridor of faith, your faith will not just be one that produces results, but your faith will be one that has good report. You know, the faith of the elders did not just command results. The faith of the elders, the Bible said, was one that has a good report. Praise God. And so for us to deal with faith from that angle, we will not just look at the dynamics. When you are studying the dynamics of faith, it's about results. But when you are dealing with the essence or the character of faith beyond result, you want to understand what faith is and the value it holds, both in time and in eternity. Just as a way of introduction, five things that makes faith a must for every believer, and which is the reason why we must have to engage this truth from a point of revelation, is number one, spiritual understanding is by faith. This is why faith is prime, and this is why faith is a must for everyone. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for. It said it's the evidence of things not seen. He said, by it, the elders obtained a good report. And then he went to verse 3. He said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And so from that scripture, you can infer that you don't understand spiritual things because you are intelligent. You understand spiritual things because you believe. In the natural world, we say seeing is believing. But in the spiritual world, believing is seeing. Faith precedes understanding. This is why the things of God, the Bible said, are foolishness to the natural mind. Someone may have a PhD in logic, but the scripture may not make sense to the person. He said, the natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He said, they are spiritually discerned. And so the reason faith is a must for every believer is because Spiritual understanding runs on the frequency of faith. If you can't believe, you can't understand. You may begin with the periphery, gleaning some of the things logically, and it may make sense to you. But when you truly begin to go into the depths of spiritual realities, how much you can lay hold on and how much you can understand will truly be a function of the degree to which you can believe. And that's why the first thing God gave to us was faith. In Romans 12 verse 3, the Bible said God dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Because you will need faith in order to journey with God on the scales of understanding. The second thing that makes faith a must is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so your prayer will mean nothing. Your quoting of scripture will mean nothing. Your charity will mean nothing except as it is done by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so if you know that faith is this important, and faith becomes the basis by which God will be pleased with any spiritual thing you do, then you will begin to appreciate the value of faith. This is why faith is a must. Without faith, it's impossible. Prayer doesn't please God without faith. Giving doesn't please God without faith. Quoting scriptures does not please God without faith. Charity and almsgiving does not please God without faith. The signature of pleasing God in the spirit is the faith that is connected to everything that you do. And if everything you do will only make sense to God if there is faith in it, then faith is a must to you. The third thing that makes faith a must is that in this world, we walk by faith. That means our living is by faith. You don't live here by breathing. You live here by faith. And this is why even when we stop breathing, we are still alive. If you study the life of Abel, the Bible said, through faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he said, on the strength of that, even while he was dead, his blood spoke. So we don't just live by breathing, we live by faith. And Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, all of those scriptures reveal to us clearly that the justified, the just man, shall live by faith. The summary of the gospel is justification. In justification, we have the good news of Jesus' incarnation. We have the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then we have the good news of the receipt of the Holy Ghost and eternal life. All of these were put together before we are justified. Now that the finished works of Christ is completed, the Bible said the only way you will live appropriating all of that is by faith. And so faith is the second spiritual reality after justification. Justification is what brings you to becoming a partaker of everything that Jesus makes available in salvation. But faith is the only way by which it can be appropriated and manifested. This is why he said the just, the man who has come into the economy of the finished works of Christ, he said that man shall live by faith. And so if you don't have faith, you may be breathing, but you're not alive. And the proof is that you will not participate in the things that are already available to you. Your life will be a reproach. Your life will be an embodiment of pain, regret, and sorrow, because you can't live without faith. He said, we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So faith is a must, because living in the spirit is a product of faith. Number 4, why is faith a must? Our righteousness is by faith. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. He said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So righteousness in this context, not just the nature of God that we have, which is a product of the finished works of Christ, but also our ability to stand without guilt, without inferiority, without blame in the realms of God. And so the reason you can actually be bold enough to participate in God's agenda in the first place is because you know you are righteous. And this knowledge is not mental, it's faith. Our righteousness is a product of faith. So faith is a must. And then finally, the reason faith is a must is because, or is that our, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, it said this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The world is a treacherous realm. The world is a wicked realm. There are many spirits trying to enact their policies on the face of the earth. The Bible said the devil cometh not but for to kill, John 10:10, to steal and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life to the full. The way you walk in that economy is by faith. There are spirits coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness shall cover the people. Isaiah 60 verse 1. So how do you live in this kind of wicked and treacherous world? He said, it's by the instrumentality of faith. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so because understanding is a product of faith, because pleasing God is a product of faith, because our living is a product of faith, because our right standing with God is a product of faith, and because our victory in life is a product of faith, faith is a must for the believer. And so tonight, as we study the character of faith, it behoves you to pay all attention, because this is what will truly define the quality of your life. Praise God. In understanding the subject of faith, it's also important for you to know that faith is operational in three realms. The first realm for the operation of faith is a gift. It's the realm of the gifting. Faith is a gift. The Bible speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12, it spoke, it said, to one is given the gift of faith. There are people who operate faith, but principally at the realm of a gift. For those who operate faith at the realm of the gift, when things are happening, they are powerless until there's a stirring on their inside. That's how that gift works. That gift works by stirrings. So if you are not stirred, what you did yesterday, you can't repeat today. And what you did today, there's no assurance you can operate it tomorrow. And so you need to service that gift in order to have that stirring periodically as you confront the affairs of life. And so those who are gifted, they may not necessarily know the word of God. They may not even be in a vital relationship with God. But like Samson, they notice that every time there is a crisis, there is something that leaps on their inside. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost moves on their inside and they carry out supernatural feats that are unexplainable but undeniable. But when that stirring does not happen, they are as weak as every other person. So the gift of faith is beautiful, but it is limited because it is a product of stirring. In fact, most times, you will need to be in sync with the Holy Spirit to pick the frequency of that stirring. That also becomes an insurance system to that gift, because that gift works purely on the strength of the will of the Holy Spirit. But there's another level of faith, which is what we call the word of faith. In Romans chapter 10 verse 8, the Bible said, the word of God is in thy mouth, even the word that we preach, and he called it the word of faith. He said, the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the second level of the operation of faith is the level of the word of faith. While the gift of faith is a product of the stirring of the Holy Spirit, the word of faith is a product of revelation. Every time you have a revelation on a subject matter, your faith grows in that subject matter. Now, this one is a bit different from the gift of faith in that it is a product of revelation and in that it can be easily replicated. Now, if you begin to study faith, one thing you understand is God does not want us to operate faith purely depending on Him. Yes, there is a dimension where we depend on God because every spiritual thing sponsors intimacy. But there is also a dimension of faith where God launches us out to go and represent Him. This is why when you are studying Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to verse 24, you'll see that Jesus never taught us to consult with God in dealing with the affairs of life. He said, there's a mountain before you. Don't talk to God about it. He said, say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast away. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart, you have whatsoever you say. He didn't say pray to God. He didn't say ask God about it, because God expects us to come to a level of maturity where we can handle and manage His estate. And so on the strength of this, the word of faith becomes important, where you have sufficient revelation that you can deal with the affairs of life without consulting God. Whereas your intimacy with God now is beyond the things you need. You know, many persons who are babes, every time they are talking to God is because of their needs. But when you have grown in the word of faith, you don't necessarily bring your need to your conversation with God anymore. Because on the strength of revelation, you can deal with every mountain. So every time you come to God now, it is purely about intimacy and about knowing Him more. So this dimension of faith is superior to the gift of faith because it is sponsored by revelation and it can be replicated at will. So when you see people who command results at will, they are not operating by a gift. They are operating by the word of faith. They have that revelation, so any day, anytime, they can repeat what they are doing. They have mastered it. And then finally, you have what we call the realm of the spirit of faith. Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, he said, according as it is written, he said, they believe and have spoken. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. The spirit of faith is a realm. It's not just something you operate because you have a revelation. It's where you live. When a man carries the spirit of faith, he operates almost like God because he's living in that realm. And that's why when you study that scripture to verse 17 and verse 18, where Paul was climaxing that revelation, what did Paul say? He said, for our light affliction are but for a moment, but they work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. He said, for the things which are seen, they are temporal. But the things which are unseen, they are eternal. So he's talking to you about the reality of a realm. A man who operates in the realm of the spirit of faith, he is literally living heaven on earth. And so when he's talking, he's actually talking his reality into his immediate context. That kind of man is not operating by gift. He's not just operating by revelation. That is his word. And so if he talks, he brings the reality of his word and superimposes it into another word. So the spirit of faith, the realm of the spirit of faith, is a superlative realm. And that's where God expects us to live. That's why I said the just shall live by faith. Because he's expecting us actually not just to have a gift of faith being stirred on our inside. He's expecting us not just to have revelation on specific issues of life. He's actually expecting us to live in and from that realm. It was said concerning Jesus in John 3:13. He said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. So he was walking on earth, but by faith he was living from the spirit realm. And so when Jesus is talking, he is talking because he's living in the realm. I give you a classical example. Somebody may have cancer and somebody shows up, a minister shows up. If he's operating by the gift of faith, if he is dead, he can address that cancer. He can even pull it out. He can command it to dematerialize. The problem is, if he meets another person who has cancer, if there's no stirring, he'll be helpless. That's the gift of faith. Now, a man who has the word of faith, if he meets somebody who has cancer and he has revelation of healing, if he meets that sick person, on the strength of that revelation, he will address that cancer. And if there are 1,000 of them, he is spending one from one economy, that same revelation, and he can replicate that result. So that man's reality will be more consistent and superior to the guy who depends on a stirring. But there is another man who operates the spirit of faith. When the man who operates the spirit of faith shows up, he will not see the cancer. When he looks at you, he's looking at you from your original reality where cancer does not exist. And so when that man operating by the spirit of faith is talking to you, he is actually not dealing with cancer. He is actually bringing you into your reality where cancer does not exist. So one, the first two sponsors healing. The last one sponsors divine health. Because if you have a gift and a word of faith, you can command healing. But if you live and operate by the spirit of faith, you live where sickness don't exist. So one is the economy of divine health. The other two are the economy of healing. And so when you are dealing with the subject of faith, or you see somebody operating in faith, it's important to understand where he's operating from. Sometimes you meet a believer who has the gift of faith. He works wonders today, and then tomorrow you want him to work wonder, and he looks helpless. Don't go and say he's a fake man. No, he has not sensed the stirring. If Samson is not stirred, you'll be amazed. Is he not the guy that carried the gate of Gaza to the mountaintop yesterday? Are you sure you are the one? He is the one, but there's no stirring. Because what he has is a gift. If you meet somebody else who has a revelation, he may be doing wonders in the area of finances, But when it comes to healing, he'll be helpless. Because he doesn't have revelation for healing. He has revelation for prosperity. And so when it comes to prosperity, he's a champion. But when it comes to sickness, he's in trouble. Because revelation will sponsor issues that has to do with finances. But because he has darkness in the area of healing, even though he's a champion in the area of finances, in the area of health, he'll be weak. But when you find a man who operates in the realm of faith, everything is constant because he's in heaven. There's no sickness there. There's no poverty there. So anywhere he comes to, he's a commander. That's why Paul, when he was teaching on this subject, he took time to deal with gifts. He took time to deal with word of faith. And he also took time to deal with spirit of faith. And so it's important for a believer to grow. Do you see? Not all of us will have the gift of faith. He said to some, he gave the gifts of healing. To some, he gave the gift of workings of miracles. To some, he gave the gift of faith. So I may not have the gift of faith, but it doesn't mean on this faith subject I'm helpless. Because when he said we should walk by faith, he's talking to everybody. That means one way or the other, you must operate by the economy of faith. And so the Holy Spirit, by his will, may choose to give some of us the gift of faith. But even those of us who don't have the gift of faith, it doesn't mean our manifestation will be limited. Because if I know I don't have the gift of faith, then I need to have revelation in order to walk faith. And if I don't have enough revelation through intimacy, I must have to break into the spirit of faith. So that the things that the patriarchs walked in, we too can walk in it. That's why Paul speaking, he said, according as it is written. He said, they believe and have spoken. He said, we too having the same spirit of faith. That means what the patriarchs did can be replicated now. Because if I enter the economy of the spirit of faith, I can replicate their results today and now. So these two foundations or foundational introductions are important for you to understand it. And so if you move mightily in power today and tomorrow you are not moving in power, don't be disappointed. It means two things. Either that you are operating by the gift, and so the day you saw spectacular manifestation, there was a stirring, or you are operating by the word of faith. So the day you saw that manifestation is because you have a revelation in that area. Even in healing, you'll be amazed that these things are still compartmentalized. You may have a revelation that ears should not be deaf, and you can speak to 1,000 deaf ears, they will open. But when you see skin disease, you'll be shocked that your faith will look as if it has punctured. How many of you have seen that manifestation before? The hardest thing for me to pray for is skin disease. I would rather, if I see somebody with sticks, I'm almost trying to say, please, let me pray for you. It's like I get intoxicated. 3 days ago, when the office here, one brother came with stick. He said his bones, it was diagnosed that his bones were weak, so he couldn't stand on it. I said, bring it. Bring it. But if I see scabies, somebody itching himself, I'll say, Lord God of heaven, what do I do now? Or I see rashes on somebody's skin. Somehow it looks like I don't know what to do. And God is helping me there. Hallelujah. And so there's the spirit of faith. There is the word of faith. And there is what? The gift of faith. If you find a man who operates the spirit of faith, he will be giving so much to prayer. Because he needs to be sensitive to stirring. If you find a man who operates the word of faith, he will be very full of scriptures. In fact, if he talks, he can speak 5 scriptures. Because any area there's no light, he's finished. That's why many people who operate the word of faith is like they are all rounders. Any scripture, bring marriage, they quote 20. Bring prosperity, they quote 30. Brings any dimension you open, they are there. But when you find a man who operates the spirit of faith, his greatest strength is obedience. Because he needs to live in that realm. What keeps you in the realm of God is obedience. And what takes you out of the realm of God is rebellion. And so because he knows he's living in a realm, he's sensitive to the laws of that realm. He's sensitive to the motions of that realm. Because he doesn't want to violate any law. If he violates anything coming from that realm, he'll be kicked out of that realm. So those who operate the spirit of faith, they are full of obedience. Those who operate the word of faith, they are full of revelation. Those who operate the spirit of faith, they are full of prayer. One takes sensitivity, another takes light, another takes obedience. Are we together? Now, having explained this, I want to go into my subject, the character of faith. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim
Adonai.
Elohim
Adonai.
Elohim
Adonai.
We hail you, we worship you, we hail you, Most High. We hail you, we hail you,
we hail you,
we worship you, we hail you.
We hail you, we hail you,
we hail you,
we worship you,
we hail you,
Most High.
We hail you, we hail you,
we hail
you,
we worship you,
we hail
you, Most High.
Hallelujah. Now it's important for you to understand our emphasis and also to understand why we are teaching what we are teaching now. The season we are in commands and insists and necessitates that we carry out teachings like this. It's not just out of creativity. We are at a time where every believer must live by his own faith. That means the faith of Christ in him now. Every believer. And number two, the reason why we are not just studying the dynamics of faith. The dynamics of faith has to do with the anatomy of faith. How to put faith to work and have results. But the character of faith is beyond results. The character of faith is a holistic subject, showing you not just how to command results, but also how to stay within the allowance of God's government, so that at the end of the day you will not be disqualified walking faith, because it's possible to be commanding results and yet not be approved of God. Did you study about Moses? God said, speak to the rock, but he struck the rock out of anger. Water came out all the same, but that was an error. So it's not just about results. When you are dealing with the dynamics of faith, you are concerned with what to do by faith to have results. But when you are dealing with the character of faith, in addition to result, you are looking at what to do to have God's approval. Are we together? So what we are studying tonight is the character. Next week, I'm going to deal extensively, on Tuesday rather, in the Bible study, I'll deal extensively with the dynamics of faith. So there I will focus on how to command results. But tonight, my focus is to teach you how to walk faith and be accurate. Praise God. So there are forces in the spirit that must be observed when a man is walking in faith. But before I deal with those forces, let me look at results as one of the major character of faith. If it is faith, there will be results. However, the word of caution is that result is not all there is about faith. Because you can have result and be in error. However, again, let's look at the result dimension. Faith is never barren. Faith always produces results. It may linger, it may take time, but it must speak. Faith will never lie. Faith will always provide result. In fact, it is essentially and intrinsically the nature of faith to always command results. This is why God left us here, because he knew that if we are operating by this economy, we will command the same result that he commanded. In fact, Jesus was speaking in John 14:12. He said, greater works than I have done shall ye do, for I go to the Father. So Jesus knew that our challenge can never be barrenness, our challenge can never be an absence of result, because he has given us the chief result producer, the chief proof producer in the spirit is the economy of faith. And so I'm saying this so you will know that the difference between faith and believing is that believing may be futuristic, believing may be barren, believing may be mental, logical, but when it has to do with faith, it's now. When it has to do with faith, there must be result. When it has to do with faith, it is beyond logic, it's beyond mind. The proof that it was faith is that there was result. If there's no result and it's barren, it can be believing, because believing takes a lot of logic. It takes a lot of human and analysis. But when it has to do with faith, sometimes logic is suspended. Yes, there may be a logic, but logic most times are suspended. And that's why the way you check out faith is a manifestation. And so let me show you a few things, a few scripture. In James chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, and then verse 26. He said, thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. He now gave us a shocker. He said, even the devil believes. And the devil believes more than you. He said, the devil believes so much that he trembles. You know why? The devil has been in the throne room before. The devil has seen God carry out feats that some are not even in the Bible. Some of the feats the devils have seen, they seen God operate, they are not written in scriptures. Because scripture is for men. Have you read the Chronicles of Angels? Hope you know that we all have our civilization. The things that are written for us to know God and to believe God. To the degree that we participate in God's agenda. There are many other chronicles that are deeper and are not necessary for us. That's why they are not captured in scripture. The devil knows those chronicles. He said, you say you believe. He said, you believe and you believe well, because there's actually one God. He said, but the devil does not only believe that there's one God. He said, the devil trembles because of his believing. But he went to verse 20 and told us something. He said, you are vain if all you have is believing. It's not just to sit down and say, it's true. Ah, yes, God is a healer. It's true. Where is these people? That's very true. Of course. Why won't God bless people? The cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to him. That's intelligent scripture. Are you blessed? There must be a dynamics that works your belief to become a reality. That's when faith comes in. If there is no result, then it's not faith, it's called believing. In fact, in verse 26, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, it says, so faith without works is dead. And somebody is hearing and say, well, the works of faith is not just about manifestation. If I'm laboring in prayer, I'm doing the works of faith. That's true. But even prayer has an end. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There must be a tangible proof that what you are doing does not just have the backing of God, but the impact can be felt on earth. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he began to talk to us about the kind of faith order that we were introduced to, and is the faith of Abraham. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He believed, even God. But the believing did not stop in the brain. He said, the God that quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So what Abraham believed was that even if something is dead, he said God can quicken it. But he didn't stop there. He now went to verse 18. He said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become. So the believing had proof. He didn't just believe that God quickens the dead. If God quickens the dead, my impotence must be quickened. My wife's barrenness must be quickened. So the reason Abraham was believing, he was believing unto a manifestation. He said that he might become the father of many nations. And he said, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And go further. See what the Bible said. He said, be not weak in faith. He has entered faith now. He has believed all of the logic. God said you will be the father of many nations. He is believing to be it. Now work has started. And this kind of work is not labor. It's a labor that produces result. He said, and be not weak in faith.
he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. Then the child came forth. And so Abraham's faith culminated in Isaac. Sarah's faith culminated in Isaac. So every time there is faith, of necessity there will be manifestation. Yes, it's possible that there may be no manifestation. It's possible. But most times the reason there's no manifestation is not because the faith does not have the potential to bring manifestation. It's actually because you died believing. Because when the Bible spoke about the elders of faith, it said they died in faith. If they were alive long enough, they would have seen it, because Jesus eventually came. And so every faith produces results. Are you following the teaching? I'm saying this so that somebody will become rugged. Because we are in a generation today where people have a lot of intelligent theology. Why it works and why it should not work. So the guy is teaching powerfully on healing. But when you bring somebody with headache, that faith goes down. That faith is theology. That's not power. It is an error in our generation. The fathers didn't explain too much. They had too many manifestations to clear your doubts. When the fathers show up and say Jesus is a healer, if they talk for 20 minutes, the next thing you start seeing crutches. It is only in our generation that we teach healing for 2 hours, and at the end of the day you don't see any results, because we were not taught faith correctly. We were taught faith as an intelligent enterprise. And so we gather books explaining theology with so much wisdom and oratory. But when you come to manifestation, it is lean. This is the generation where you come for an apostolic conference and the deaf go back deaf. This is a generation where you come for a prophetic conference and the poor, the sick, the weak go back weak, because there's something wrong. We were not taught that the validity and the proof of faith is not in the intelligent communication. It is in the manifestation that comes to back that which is said. Imagine when God, Moses was writing in Genesis chapter 1, and he gave all the narrative that God is creator, and at the end of the day no creation happened. It's a true faith. We understand that the worlds were created. Through faith we understand that the worlds were fabricated. And so everything you know that doesn't produce result, it's time to become aggressive. It's time to become angry about it and say, no, I stop believing, I enter faith. Did you not read about matter? We know that you can raise the dead, but your brother is dead. Why are you talking theology? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, we believe that on the last day he will rise again. I'm not talking about the last day. I'm talking about the person. He said, now your brother will. That's why Jesus wept. In fact, in the story of the boat, the Bible told us Jesus looked at them and called them a perverse generation. He said, how long will I be with you? You know everything about faith. You can lecture about faith. But there's turbulence in the boat and you are shouting, Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish? You know about the resurrection. And all you think about the resurrection is that on the last day, maybe your brother will rise. That is not faith. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, where have you kept him? Oh, Master, by now you'll be smelling. Who is talking smell? The life giver is about to give life to the dead. I thought you said you believe in the resurrection. That is believing. That's not faith. Faith is action. Faith is a force. Faith is a power. A power that produces manifestation. There are too many explanations in our generation. People go out with textbooks talking faith, and there's no result to back it up. It's a faith without works is dead. And so most of the things we exhibit is dead faith. It's not a faith that is alive. When faith is alive, the proof is that there is result. He said, Lazarus, comfort. There was no rehearsal. It's either it happens or it's a lie. It's either it happens or I'm put to shame now. Lazarus, comfort. And the Bible said, he that was dead came back to life. Why am I emphasizing this? We pride ourselves with knowledge. We know so much, but our results are tiny and almost inconsequential. And so what we have is intelligent theology and not believing. It was Pastor Chris that told us a story some years ago. He said they had a conference, and they tagged it Millionaires Conference. And then this man who was their lecturer came up to talk. And when he started talking, somebody stood up and said, objection, according to the law of economics,
He started quoting philosophers. This one said this. Socrates said this. This said this. The man marveled at his intelligence. But unfortunately, his look was not consistent with the intelligence. So he's a barren intelligence. And the man asked him, excuse me, sir, with all due respect, do you have $1 million in your account? He said, no. He said, sit down. I have many millions. Let me teach you how to make millions. That thing you are talking is library. I know you have many textbooks. Thank God for that knowledge, but sit down. Me, I have money. I want to teach you how to make money. So when you finish reading your book, go and teach economics 101 or 404 in the university. But here now, we are talking who has the kabash. So wait, sit down. Let me bring you into manifestation. When Jesus taught the subject of faith, he used the mountain. You don't teach faith with brain. He used what? A mountain. In Mark 11, 22 to 24, he said, have this kind of faith. That's how Jesus taught faith. He taught faith with what? Practicals. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain. So the guy who has faith is not the guy who preaches it. It's the one who can say to this mountain. I know many people can teach it. Even the Pharisees are scholars in this subject. Because when you go to biblical theology, they have a strand called faith. They have a strand called sacrifice. Biblical theology, they deal with stems. And so I know faith is one of their major subjects. But I'm not talking about the theologian. It's the one who can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. He said, that man shall have whatsoever he says. And in verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so the man who has faith is not the man who is hoping to receive, is the man who already believes that he has. And so the understanding and the power and the experience of faith is not to know so much about faith, is to believe that you already have. If you have not come to that point where you believe that you already have, you don't have faith. What you have is believing. That's why when Paul was teaching, he said, all things are yours. And so in the school of faith, we are not coming to have. We already have. We are bringing out from what we already have. That is where you get to. And this type is not in the brain, it's in the heart. And so a generation must be taught how to walk out faith, to walk out. The way you walk out your salvation, that's how you walk out faith. And in this same scripture, Jesus gave us certain formulas for those who have the faith that produce results. Number one, they identify the mountain. And I will deal with this subject later, so I'm not going deep. They are not talking stories about world's geography. They identify the mountain. This is the challenge. And so when the guy comes to a place, he finds the problem. This is the problem. You know, when you have believing, we are still growing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not an absolute authority. I'm actually a learner on this subject. We'll come for meeting. Jesus raises the dead. The power of God is now. Then, as we are talking, you now look at a brother sitting on a wheelchair. You will quickly close your note and say, you know this word, be bold. Whatever situation you are in, God can help you. Just keep trusting God. Keep. It was now God with. You now see the dead. They say, we are just coming from the mortuary. You say, he said, this is the scripture you now invoke. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the saints. Is the death. when the saints die, there's a red carpet in heaven for welcoming them. We thank God for the labors of this brother. And I want to use this brother now to preach to you who is still out there. If you have not yet known Jesus, or you are still in iniquity, one day all of us will go like he has gone now. Jesus never preached like that. He came to a burial ceremony 3 times, and 3 times they rose back to life. The widow of Nain was carrying her son out. Jesus was entering the city. The Bible says he touched the coffin. There was no lecture. He touched it. The boy came back to life. It's not English. It's power. They told Peter that the lady lost her daughter. And they said, come. You know, that type of meeting is not preaching. They came to invite you and they said, somebody is dead. Come. Now, that was the same thing that happened to Jesus. The lady was dead. When the lady was sick, the people who believed were rushing to Jesus. And when they came to him, eventually, somebody now say, troubled of the master. The damsel is already dead. So now faith can, Jesus turned to the man quickly and said, fear not, only believe. Faith is not a lecture. I wasn't going there to preach to the sick girl. I was going there to deal with a challenge. And whatever the challenge is a type of a mountain. And Jesus went and rose her back to life. The same thing Peter did for Tabitha. The woman is dead. They came to invite you not to go and do burial service. You know, you will not be angry until you begin to examine this truth for yourself. You will not be angry. Somebody is having cancer. You come, you say, let's do prayer chain. Which one is? How can a cancerous patient who is dying? You say, pray. You are not praying, you will die. I'm dying. That's why I called you. Which one is prayer chain? We just do all the rituals. So that when we finish sweating, we will say something will happen. Oh God, don't deceive yourself. Faith is manifestation. Faith is result. Faith is action. Not a barren one, but produces result. When you come, leave the ritual. See, this is how you grow. And that's what Jesus taught us. He said, when you come, identify the mountain. If you start dodging from the mountain, you will never enter faith. That's why many don't have result. You come into a room, somebody is on the bed dying. You start preaching to people about the kingdom of God. Why that we must have alignment? Okay, what they called you for is for somebody on the sick bed. Let the person stand up. If the person stands up, that will be enough message for that day. But if you don't want to grow in faith, you keep dodging the mountain. He said, say to this mountain. And so the first law is specificity. If you are afraid of the problem, you will never have the capacity to deal with it. Number two, he didn't say talk to God. That's not the time for intimacy. There are many times for intimacy. When you are at home, encounter God. Love him, cry. But when you come here, he says, say to the mountain. The problem we have is because we want to save face. There's a mountain, we are not dealing with it. In case it doesn't happen. I was in a meeting the other time, and I made a general declaration. Some people were healed, some people were not healed. Jesus said, why did you go to those people? Because you will never grow. Identify the mountain, that means be specific. Number two, address the mountain. And hope you know that every time Jesus addressed the mountain, he didn't say it under his breath. He spoke with a loud voice. When Lazarus was in the grave, he said with a loud cry, Lazarus, come forth! Imagine if the guy didn't come. Ha ha! His ministry would have ended that day. But when you are dealing with faith, you don't care about shame. If you are mindful of shame, you will never walk in faith. And too many people have pampered shame. Now they are too big that they can't even venture it. Hope you know, most of the teachers today are prophets. But when God told them, call that lady and tell her your name is Martha. They say, Martha? What if he said is not Martha, it's Magdalene. And they pampered and nurtured shame until now they have become global ministers. They can't make mistakes anymore. So they have to sacrifice the prophetic. Hope you know, most of the people who are lecturers today, teaching in church, the unction on their life is to deal with cripples. But they nurtured shame so much, they never address the matter. And because they never address the matter, they have become popular with their teaching now. It is now a danger to try it. And so what God will do is that he will carry that mantle and give to the next generation, because he will not allow that gap in the spirit. You identify the problem, you address the problem. And number three, which is the hardest part, is don't doubt. This one is where you need a spiritual surgery. And so if you do it today and you doubt and you don't have result, go back to God and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's the prayer of a man who wants to grow in faith. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. And God begins to help you. He is helping you. And then another way God will help you is that he will begin to guide you on what to do. Sometimes he will give you scriptures to meditate on. Sometimes he will lead you to another man who is walking in what you are about to enter and say, watch him. As you are watching that man, you will notice either the spirit of God that is on him will enter you, or as you are watching that man, suddenly you will become more conscious of the result than the lack of result, because sometimes it's a function of your mind, your consciousness. So as you are watching and watching, a point will come where you will naturally become more conscious of result. And then when you go out to minister, that moment where you are stirred, all you will see will be the manifestation. So God will be the one to help you deal with matters of unbelief. See, faith is a realm, it's a war. That's why I said we live by faith. It's something you practice. There are many persons, they have 1,001 problems. They won't identify them and deal with them. They come and pray. They say they have ascended in prayer. And because they ascended, they chanted and they went back. You will grow in prayer, but you will be a babe in faith. That's the consequence. It's time to begin to identify problems, address problems, and every area of doubt, go back to God. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. If these three things are in place, then do it in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. He said, in my name, cast out devils. In my name, in my name, in my name. See, we don't know faith. That's why we take the name of Jesus for granted. If you know faith and you are walking in faith, you will treasure the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is like your trigger. Somebody calling Jesus, lying in the name of Jesus, doing anything he wants, he doesn't know faith. If you know faith, you will know the true meaning of salvation that is in the name of Jesus. Because every result you want to command, the final trigger is always the name of Jesus. Because you may identify the problem, you may want to address the problem, you may not doubt in your heart, but the key is the name of Jesus. And so people who live by faith, they don't joke with the name of Jesus. If they tell you something, they are not just saying it because they are Christians. They know that they are clothed in the name of Jesus. And so they won't dare not to be right. But when you find a generation that trivializes the name of Jesus, that's not a generation that walks in faith. And so faith now has become theology. Faith has become story. Faith has become intelligent teaching. Anywhere you teach faith and there's no manifestation, that's a charade. This one I'm teaching this night, there must be manifestation. Not tomorrow, now. Because now faith is. If not, it's lecture. Why would a dead man be brought to your service if there's no hope of resurrection? Why would a sick man come to your service? And do you know how many who are sick? The word of Jesus is not to motivate. The word of Jesus is not to encourage. Yes, it encourages, it motivates. But the word of the Lord is the answer to human affliction. And that's why the faith element is inculcated in the world. And so the first thing you need to know about the character of faith is that faith is a proof producer. Faith is about result. It's result oriented. And so if you are not ready for result, leave the subject of faith alone. It's not for you. Identify the problem. Address the problem. Do not doubt in your heart. Use the name of Jesus. If you obey these four laws, as simple as they are, you'll be amazed what God will start doing with you. Do you know the challenges men confront? We all need faith. Even the people that looks as if they are doing well, they need faith. And you are already born of God. You have the Holy Spirit on your inside. And so what you need is to keep doing this thing sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that a gift operates in you, if the Holy Ghost wills, or as you meditate on scripture, with the intention to change your world. This, when you are reading the Bible, don't gather scriptures. That's a kindergarten level. When you are reading the scripture, you are getting codes to change your world. When you are reading about the healing ministry of Jesus, you are seeing yourself address sickness. You have become balm in Gilead. When you are reading about the principles of prosperity, you are seeing yourself addressing the plight of poverty. That's how you read scripture. Is God reading scripture by the spirit of faith? And so when you catch something, take it out and put it to work. It says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised. When you catch it, apply it. When you find a verse of scripture that talks about healing, look for the sick. Have you not read the story of Beth in the Hosa? It's not a story for you to recite. It's a story to inspire you to do. You come to church every Sunday, every Tuesday. You never miss service. But people are sick. Which God are you going to? You come back from service one day, you are angry. This sickness can't persist. What is it called? In the name of Jesus, I command you, leave and never return. With aggression, let this your everyday fellowship count. You go to the mountain to pray. Everybody calls you prayer warrior. And you can't command change around you. The Bible said, as the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep, God said, light be. It's not just about staring. It's not just about intimacy. What is the product? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. A generation must become angry. There are too many things to address. In the demonic coven, they don't take pride in knowledge. Every knowledge you have is to command the result. And so they know the purpose of knowledge. Either to transform you into levels of wickedness or to confer in you authority to do the unexplainable. It's only in Christianity that people appreciate natural and normal life, full of supernatural knowledge. Talk about angels, talk about creation, talk about prosperity, but nothing supernatural happening around them. That barrenness is sponsored by a lack of passion to work out faith. And so the reason for this teaching tonight is to scare somebody. That next time when you hear of the subject of faith, don't think about memorizing the scriptures alone. Find out who are the sick people around me. Who are the poor people that I need to declare over? What are the changes that I need to create? And as you go back home, you write all of the things around you that need to be changed. And you rise up as a faith agent and you begin to command and give timelines. This one happens. You are barren in the next 9 months. I command you to have a child. This one, you are blind. In the name of Jesus, open. This one, you are poor. I banish poverty. That's the spirit of faith. You become angry because the devil has too many signatures in our world. Signature of sickness, signature of death, signature of backwardness. We came to change the writing. That's why we are the salt of the earth. And it will take the spirit of faith to operate that. And if you hear faith, hear the subject, and it's all about knowledge, then you don't know what faith is about. The first character of faith is to create change. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed. Framed. Begin to frame your world. Frame your world. Frame your world. My brother Chizok Kam wrote something the other time. 5 years ago, and he wrote all that he will do when he's at a particular age. And I saw he was remarking it. There's only one that is left. That's how you live your life. You frame your world. Frame it. When you understand faith, your words become relevant even to you. You don't speak carelessly. I speak with a consciousness. If I say you are blessed, it's not a church cliche. If I tell you are blessed, I'm looking out for it. There's a friend of mine, every time things are going wrong, he comes to my house. And as I talk, 48 hours is too much. Things just supernaturally turns around. And I don't expect anything from him in return. I'm just practicing faith. When they say somebody is sick, I'm the first person who wants to pray. I'm the first person who wants to make declaration. I'm just practicing faith. They say somebody is demonized. I'm the first person who wants to cast out that devil. I'm just practicing faith. This is our life. We are practitioners of faith. We put this thing to work and we grow in it. A point now comes when you come into our world, you will know this is a kind of heaven. because we have framed that word. Sickness don't exist there. Poverty don't exist there. Retrogression don't exist there. We consciously framed it. That's how gods live. And that's what faith is about. That you determine the outcome of your life and you determine the possibilities around your realm. In fact, that is the first reason you were given words. Because the first purpose of words we saw in the scripture was not for communication. It was for creation. God said, let there be light. That was the first time a being spoke. And it was for creation. How come your own communication is about talking? Communication. No. There's a consciousness of faith that we must carry. There's power on your inside. When the Bible said you have the Holy Ghost on your inside, it's not for information's sake. It's to tell you the spirit of power dwells in you. When the Bible told you God gave you the measure, it didn't say a measure. It said the measure of faith. It's telling you that the power, the raw material for power is on your inside. But because you are not yet taught that you are a changer, you are not yet taught that you are a transformer, you are not yet taught that you are a co-creator with God, you don't know what that faith is for. You don't know what eternal life is for. You don't know what the Holy Ghost is on your inside for. You think it's also another aspect of Christian theology. When he said the Holy Ghost is on your inside, it's not another aspect of Christian theology. When he said faith is on your inside, it's not another aspect of Christian theology. When he said you have eternal life, it's not another aspect of Christian theology. It's telling you the raw material to create change is already there. Talk it forth.
You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh.
I address every barren faith tonight. Begin to produce results. When you pray, declare something. Write what you declared and watch it come to pass. When somebody comes to you, I have a challenge. Speak forth what you want to see. Write it down. Wait for the testimony. That's the faith life. The just shall live by faith. We create changes. We are not talkers. We are makers, inventors of possibilities. Because we are faith agents. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have faith on our inside. That's why we have the Word. That's why we pray, is to create change. And so when you start looking at the Word, it begins from your family. You can identify the changes you created. And then a point comes, it comes to your local government. It comes to your state. It comes to your country. Then it comes to your generation. You can look at people making impact. You say, I created it by the Spirit. You can look at things happening in the media, in the governmental corridor, in the academia, in the economic world. You can tell that these ones, I'm their originator in the Spirit. These are my offspring. I bettered them. You have a signature in your generation. You grow it. Grow it. Grow it. Faith is about creating change. It's not a theology. We can teach it as theology, but over and above that, faith is a result producer. And I prophesy over you, from today your life begins to produce results. Every scripture you catch, the little you have, you will produce results with it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's too much barrenness in the land. Because people are not taught the subject of faith. That the idea and the essence is to produce change, is to create change, is to produce results. Somebody will produce supernatural results by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is charged to go out and demonstrate? So when you sing, you are not staring people. No. Yes, when you sing, you can stare people to worship God. But over and above that, when you are singing, be checking if demons are living. Be checking if cripples are walking. Be checking if deaf ears are opening. Because you are a change agent. You are a proof producer. Every one of us. Did you not read? Jesus said, everyone that believe, no exception. He said, this sign shall follow them. Everyone that believe, not one exception. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe. That means we are all producers. And the reason it's possible is because there's faith on our inside. Tell yourself, I have enough faith. I have the measure of faith. I create change in my world. And don't just say it vaguely. Begin to identify those things, and they are already changing. Because even as you are sitting now, you are already emitting energy. Because sometimes as you master it, even when you are not talking, you are emitting the energy. You are emitting it. As you are thinking it, you are emitting the energy. And things are happening. That's how it works. We are faith agents. We are faith beings. And the proof is not because we talk. It's because we actually create change. Changes that are verifiable. When Jesus creates change, he tells you, go to the doctor. Science can prove it that something happened here. Go to the doctor. Let him check and verify. The authority we have is beyond the science realm. It's a creative authority. And that authority is born out of faith. Somebody will leave this place. You will not just be delivered from oppression, but you will become a deliverer by the Spirit. And so I decree right now, every affliction that anyone hearing me now is going through, I curse them to the root in the name of Jesus. I command sicknesses. Your power over God's people breaks right now. Deaf ears open, blind eyes see. I command pains be gone, broken bones be mended, blood conditions be healed, organ infections be healed. My God, somebody's stomach is swollen up. I command that stomach to return now in the name of Jesus. Somebody has suffered from an eye condition for many years. Tonight is your deliverance. I command those eyes, see now in the name of Jesus. You had an accident, your bone was fractured, and until now you can't walk well. I speak to you by the Spirit of faith in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk now. My God, kidney infections, I command healing now in the name of Jesus. Every bone condition, muscular disorder, I command healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. I decree freedom for you now. I decree freedom for you now. I decree freedom for you now. I speak into somebody's finances. That demon that comes to steal your money, I curse that demon now. I decree your emancipation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Supernaturally begin to prosper. Faith produces change. When we talk, we are inventing. When we talk, we are creating. When we talk, we are creating changes by the Spirit. Every hopeless situation, I command it to be turned around now. I command it to be turned around now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Tell yourself, I'm not an ordinary person. No. No, no, no. I'm not a slave of circumstances. I create my circumstances by the Spirit. Go ahead. You are listening to me online. Check your bodies. Something has happened to you. That power has just been released. There's a change already. Glory to God. I decree that change, and it is so by the Spirit of God.
When you are there, 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 when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there.
When you were there,
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 when you were there.
Listen, we are creating possibilities now. Yes. Did you not read your Bible? Jesus said, go to the river. He said, the first fish you catch, open the mouth. You will find a coin, bring it. Fishes don't produce coin. But when we talk, we create those possibilities. I decree over you, everything lacking, I command them to appear. And everything in short supply, I command them to multiply. And every crisis, controversy, and mystery over your life, I superimpose it to the dimensions of heaven.
When you are there, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there, when you are there.
Everything you could not do naturally, now I make you do it supernaturally. If you couldn't hear, hear. If you couldn't see, see. If you couldn't walk, walk by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. It says, speak the word only. Speak the word only. What runs the errand of faith is the word of God. And so by the Spirit, I speak over that circumstance. Turn around for good. When you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there,
when
you are there,
in the name of Jesus. Put a phone number there quickly. Those who have experienced or noticed a change, write it up and send that testimony. As the service is going on, we take live testimonies. Supernatural changes are taking place. Somebody, your brother, got missing over a year ago. He will walk home supernaturally. I reorder his steps by the Spirit. I manipulate his step. I reorder it by the Spirit. He will walk home in the name of Jesus. Somebody, doors are shut against you. You have applied for the visa once, twice, thrice. I command those doors to the nations of the world where your destiny is tied. Open in the name of Jesus. A fatter by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Changes. Every negative natural symptom, I reorder it. I cross those changes now by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. My goodness. Strange things. Strange things will happen to people. Strange things. Put that phone number up there. Send in your testimonies. I still have a few things to share. Give the keyboard sound online as well. It doesn't matter where you are watching from. There's no barrier in the realm of the Spirit. I decree over you, this is the morning of your life. Step into abundance now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. In the precious name of Jesus. While the testimonies are rolling in, I stretch a bit further. We are looking at the character of faith. And I said the first expression of faith is that faith works wonders. Faith is about manifestations. Faith is about results. If there are no results, you are still in the realm of believing. The realm of believing is mental, but the realm of faith is supernatural. And that's why it is sponsored by the Spirit and by the Word. And so when it is faith, or if it is faith, they are manifestations. The second thing I look at now is what I call a good report. It's a character of faith. Faith is not only about results, primarily about results, yes, but over and above results, faith is about a good result, about a good report. The Bible speaking in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It shows us that faith begins with manifestation. It makes seen unseen realities. It makes known unknown realities. It brings to bear things that never existed. So faith primarily is about manifestation. But he now said something important.
He said, by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, if you study the scripture, there's something you will notice. In 1 John chapter 2, from verse 12 to verse 14, it said, I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, when he's talking to believer, he's talking to the faith beings. And he reveals to us that the children are those who receive from God. So this is also levels of faith. He said children are those who can, they have enough faith to be able to receive from God. If it is healing, they can receive it. If it's breakthrough, they can receive it. If it's abundance, they can receive it. So long as you are in the realm where you are receiving from God, he said you are a child. Then he went further. He said, I write unto you, young men, those who are a bit more mature. He said, because you are strong. These ones are no longer receivers. These ones are representing God in doing exploits on the face of the earth. He said, because you have overcome the evil one. So these are the ones who create manifestations, just like we did now. I didn't pray to God for anything personal. I was creating changes in the lives of people. And there are already testimonies to that effect. Do we have any testimony there already? Pastor Sonny, whose line is up there? We have testimonies already. So, we don't call. Send messages. Some have sent messages, others are calling. Don't call. We can't handle the calls now. Just send a WhatsApp message or a text message. We have created changes. This is what he calls young men. The young men are the ones who create exploits. So this is the level of manifestation. But as he went further, he said, I write unto you fathers. These ones have outgrown manifestation. He said, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And so this level of faith is not manifestation, it's character. The character of God. Understanding the ways of God. So he didn't say the young men. When he was talking about faith there, he was talking about the elders, those who are mature. And so what the elders do with faith is not to create results, is to obtain a good report. And when you read it down, you begin to see what he said. He said number one was Abel. He said Abel provided what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel, Hebrews 11:4. So what we understood about Abel was Abel's faith was manifested through honor. Abel was not just creating changes. Abel now understood that in order to deal with God, honor must become part of your reality. And so a man who walks in honor is operating at a dimension of faith. The reason you find him honorable and behaving honorably is because faith is comparing him. He now went further. He spoke about Noah. And he said, when God warned him, Hebrews 11:7, he said, Noah moved with fear. So Noah's understanding of faith is reverence for God. Are you seeing why the elders obtained a good report? They were not talking about exploits. Rather, they were talking about the characters and the nature of God that have become their own nature. For Abel, it was honor. For Noah, it was fear and reverence. And then he came to Abraham and he showed us that Abraham's faith was patience. Patience. In Hebrews 6:12, he said, follow them who through faith and patience obtained the promise. And when he was speaking about Abraham, when God spake, Abraham was not in anxiety. Abraham was not in a hurry. It took 25 years for the manifestation to come. So Abraham did not just understand manifestation. He learned something about God, that it is not about the swift. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. There is a dimension that faith imparts into a man's spirit. That's why he said, I lay in Zion a trusted stone. He said, they that believe shall not make haste. So Abraham was the one who taught us that beyond manifestation in the school of faith, there is also the impartation of patience. So a man who obtains a good report by faith is not only looking about manifestation, he's looking at the character of God that's crystallized on his life. And so when you meet that kind of man, you can touch a dimension of God in him. For Abel, it was honor. For Noah, it was reverence. For Abraham, it was patience. And then you come to the life of Moses. In the case of Moses, the Bible said Moses refused the pleasures of Egypt. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasure that was in Egypt. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. So the faith of Moses, even though a lot of manifestations were there, remember, Moses was the one who brought 10 plagues on Egypt. Moses was the one who parted the Red Sea. Moses was the one who struck a rock and water came out. But when he began to define the faith of Moses, what we saw was his ability to reject the corruption of the world. So the faith of Moses was purity. And the faith of Moses was meekness. The ability to handle power with gravity. A man was literally like a god on the face of the earth. But that same man was humble and broken. You never find arrogance in Moses. You never find Moses subjugating others. You never find Moses feeling more important than others. He was indeed a servant. And Numbers 13 verse 3, the Bible said, of all men that live, he said Moses was the meekest of them all. Because Moses learned purity and meekness through faith. And so when you begin to talk about the faith of the young men, you are talking manifestation. But when you talk about the faith of the elders, you are talking character. And that's why the elders did not obtain results through faith. The elders obtained the good report. Because when God looks at them, he can find himself in their lives. There are many young people. And when I say young people, I'm not talking middle-aged people like myself. I'm talking young people in the operations of faith. Their whole focus about faith is manifestation. The stadium is packed out. The crowd comes to me. When you find them, the deaf heard, the blind saw, the crippled walk, but they are criminals, wolves in sheep clothing. The guy says he's a man of faith and he's a swindler. The guy says he's a man of faith and he's a fornicator. The guy says he's a man of faith and he's full of pride and arrogance. Arrogance, you can't see God in him. The aroma and the fragrance that comes out of him is of the serpent and of the man of the world. How dare you say you are a man of faith? Faith is not just about result. When you begin to grow in faith and you understand the character of faith, you will know that faith that produces character is superior to faith that produces result. The faith that produces character is the faith of the elders. They say by it, the elders obtain the good report. It's possible for you to have faith and have results and not have a good report. Because when it has to do with a good report, they put manifestations aside. They begin to weigh you. How much of God do you carry? And so the second character of faith is good reports. How much good report can we find? You were humble until the fellowship became 2,000. And suddenly you come like an eagle. You become like, nobody talks to you anymore. Even the air you carry around you is that makes every other person around you looks infinitesimal. That's not faith. That's arrogance. You are not accountable to anybody. Nobody can talk to you. You are an absolute authority. No, that's not faith. That's arrogance. If it is faith, it must come to the level of a good report. What are the character requirements that your life can model? That's the subject of faith. Do you know the problem we have with faith? Every time faith is taught, it's about raising the dead. It's about unstopping blind eyes. It's about cripples walking. It's about supernatural prosperity. You never teach faith and talk about character. And that's why our faith is not the faith of the elders. The faith of the elders produces a good report. And you can follow it from Hebrews 1 to the end. It's about good report. Every time an elder is identified, it's about character. But when they generalize it, it's about manifestation. Did you read from verse 33? He said, by faith, what happened? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They shut the mouth of lions. They fought valiant in battle. Weak men made strong. And they put to flight the armies of the alien. That's generalization. But when they started picking the elders, it was about character. Good report. Good report. And so faith is not arrogance. Our generation thinks faith is arrogant. Because deaf ears now open, you talk like a god. And not just a god because you are in the image of God, but you talk like Elohim himself. Because cripples now walk, you have become a law to yourself. Because the account of the ministry has entered 100 million, nobody can talk to you anymore. you have become a force. That's not faith. He said the second character of faith is a good report. And good report is about what? The nature and the character of the spirit. The top characteristic of faith is love. Ah! Time is a burden. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. I used to think faith was about manifestations alone. When the Holy Ghost started teaching me faith, I said, help me. I'm not a faith being. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Ah! See this apostolic move. The move may begin and end. There will be no elder. This move, unless God helps us, we need brokenness. We need a lot of brokenness. We don't have the faith of the elders. Our own faith commands results, but it doesn't produce good report because there's no character. Hi.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, if God wants to bless you, what he does is that he starts giving you access to elders. See, it's one thing to be here and reference fathers of faith. It doesn't mean we are humble. When we reference them, it can be political. It's when you go to them and say, look at me. Please, I want to be accountable. Give me instruction. Command me. Anyway, I'm wrong. Please rebuke me. That's the sign that you are humble. Not that you are here calling all the elders as if you honor them. Forget that. And when God wants to bless you, he starts giving you access to elders. One called me some days ago and he said, I saw your clip. You know, if a young person says, I saw your clip, you say, okay, hope you were blessed. When an elder says, I saw your clip, they are not moved. They've seen many things. They've seen many things. And most of the things they've seen, they know how it ends. He looked at me and said, you were talking about marriage and you made an absolute statement. Ah! My brother, pray, let God connect you. You know that they don't look at your face. They don't even call you by your title. They say, Michael, how are you? If you don't have sense, tell them you're apostle. He said, yes. In marriage, you marry the will of God. He said, that's true. He said, but if you make that kind of absolute statement you made, he said, many people, we cut off even the people God is bringing to their life and they will go and start checking the will of God in the spirit realm. He said, that's what results in frustration. He said, when you talk, balance it and don't always be absolute. Because there is no exclusivity in revelation. He said, revelation complements themselves. We know in part, we prophesy in part. He said, when next you talk about it, say the will of God is primary in marriage. But there are many ways of accessing it. He said, God can bring his will to you through your friend. And so you don't say, don't marry your friend. Marry the will of God. He said, the will of God can be your friend. I say, yes. I repent. I will correct it. That's why I'm correcting it. So you can marry your friend if your friend is the will of God. So the will of God is not in the spirit. See, the elders, they've been there for long. There's a place of not allowing somebody else impose his revelation on you, and you need to know the difference. But when somebody loves you, he can guide you, so you don't run into oblivion when you are still young, and there's so much you should do for God. He said the faith of the elders is not for manifestation, it's for what? Producing a good report. We need help. That's what I'm saying. So the second character of faith is what? Producing. Number three is love. Galatians 5:6. He said what? Faith worketh by what? By love. Most of this faith we practice is callous. And I can explain it to you. He said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. If what we are doing, if our faith is not characterized by love, that's not faith. Because the faith of Christ is love oriented. That's why when Paul was preaching for the early church, see, nowadays when I'm praying, bulk of my prayer is not, Lord, do wonders, Lord, do this. I say, help me to be like you. Because if you can't manage what God does through you, that thing will destroy you. And that's why I'm teaching this subject. That the heaviest molecule of faith is not manifestation. As important as manifestation is, the heaviest molecule of faith are some of these things I'm revealing to us. Somebody can come for miracle service and decree people are healed. It doesn't mean he has compassion for the sick. Because if it's not a miracle service when there's camera, he may never pray for any sick person. Even if somebody is dying, he will say, get out and walk away. Somebody can mobilize millions and buy foodstuffs and take to an IDP camp. It doesn't mean he has compassion for the poor. That one is part of ministry operation. And as he's doing it, number one, people will call him a philanthropist. It doesn't mean he loves the helpless. Because you can come to his house and even the people living in the house are not eating. Meanwhile, he's gathering food and clothes and taking to orphanage because camera is there to record it and show to the world. So what he's doing is for the cameras. He doesn't have the nature of God. Because that man will never give clothes to the person who does not have clothes if there's no camera. That man will never give money to the needy if there's no camera. He will never give food to the poor if there's no camera. Everything he does is before camera. You will never even see him give money except as is documented that this is charity. You know, here you don't do it much. Go to the UK and the US. Because every charity you give, it has to be indicated so that you will not be taxed on it. And there's nothing wrong in doing that. But if all your charity must be for taxation purpose, then you don't have love. Because if you have love, sometimes you will not remember those things. Love will constrain you. Many times when Jesus walked faith, the Bible will say he was moved by compassion. He was moved. Because if there's no love underneath your faith operation, that is professionalism. And most of the reasons will be flesh. Either to pamper your ego by people singing your goodwill, or to appear to a generation that you are a philanthropist, but deep inside you are callous and wicked. So the idea behind faith is not the activity. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 and I read it, I was almost troubled. He said, I can give my body to be burnt. He said, but if I do not have love, I am just like a clanging cymbal. So how can somebody reach a level of giving himself to be burnt and yet not have love? Because that can be a show. So that it can go down in history. Your generation will talk about you and say, this man was a man of God. People do that. People give their all so that it can be talked about. A man can receive his whole salary and give it so that people will talk about it. It doesn't mean there's love. And the judge, when he's judging, he's not judging the action, he's judging the intent. And what will make your intention pure is the liquid love of God that flows through you. Because in 1 Corinthians 4:5, he said, judge nothing before its time. He said, wait until the judge of all appears, who will not judge our actions. He will judge the what? The intents of our hearts. So what God is more interested in is the intention, not the action. And what will purify your intention is love. That's why he said faith, if it is the faith of God, He said that faith worketh by love. And so a man of faith oftentimes is first of all baptized in love before faith begins to manifest. Because most of the things you will see, most of the steerings, most of the promptings, they are love motivated. If you find him giving as an arm of charity in the ministry, is because as a person he has given for too many years. The thing eats him up. The thing overtakes him. When God sees that, he just knows that this personal dealing has become a corporate expression. That's how faith works. Faith must be love motivated. And this is why the Bible speaking in 1 John 4:17, when he gave us the two highest operation of faith. Number one, he said boldness before God. And number two, he said as he is, so are we. You can never be bold before God except as what you are doing is sponsored by love. The only faith that will be audacious before God is a faith that is born out of love. And 1 John 4:17 says, hearing is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, not today, on the day of judgment, where God appears in his terror. He said, even there we will be bold. And will not be bold just because we are faith people. He said, we'll be bold because the faith we operate in is sponsored by love. And he said, that faith does not only give us boldness, that faith makes us to become as he is. That's why I told you the heavier molecules of faith is not manifestation. His character is to become like him. He said, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no faith superior to this faith captured in 1 John 4:17. The faith that is bold on the day of judgment, and the faith that makes you become exactly as he is. But that faith is actually an expression of love. So love becomes a dimension of faith. There are many things you will do on account of love that if love were not there, you wouldn't venture into. Most times, the reason you step out and pull somebody out of a wheelchair is because you're overtaken with compassion when you look upon the person. Sometimes the reason you will sign a check to give out an amount of money is because you're overtaken with compassion. There are many feats of faith you can never carry out until you are first of all inundated with love. Because faith worketh by love. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he said the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. This is the balance of faith. He said what? The work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. That's how faith works. There's no faith without love. Until love appears, faith is vain. The fourth characteristic of faith is a good conscience. There are many people who say they are in faith, they are wolves in sheep clothing. They don't have a good conscience. If your faith does not have good conscience, that faith will be shipwrecked. The love component of faith is what makes faith work. That's why I said faith worketh by love. But the conscience component of faith is the insurance of faith. In 1 Timothy 1:19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience. He said, which some having put away concerning faith have shipwrecked their faith. In 1 Timothy 3:9, he said, hold the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. And so a man who does not exercise faith with conscience will soon be shipwrecked. That faith will soon fail, because the insurance system for faith is a good conscience. You walk faith and you are full of lies, you are full of deception, and you say you have the spirit of faith. No, that's not faith. They lie with a lot of impunity and they don't care. Go, I'll send the money. Just know it's a lie. And you come, you say, I'm a man of faith. No. When conscience is dead, faith is shipwrecked. It takes a good conscience for faith to be insured. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1-2 and see what the Bible says as I begin to round up. It said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. So when men begin to connect to seductive spirits, he said they depart from faith. So every time there is no purity and good conscience around your faith, that faith is shipwrecked. Go to verse 2. He says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, You want to find a man who has departed from faith? He's a hypocrite. He's a liar. He said, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so when people begin to lie as a way of life, full of deception, just know that they don't know what faith is. You say you are a businessman and you cut corners in all of your transactions, and you say you are a man of faith. No, you are not. You have actually departed from the faith. You say you are an apostle, you have faith for healing, you are an apostle of faith, and you are a deceiver, a manipulator, exaggerating things, creating things to appear the way you want your audience to see them, whereas that's not how they originally happened. And you say you are in faith, you have departed from the faith. You have given yourself to seducing spirits, because the proof that you are under the influence of a seducing spirit is that you become a liar and a hypocrite. And the Bible said, for you to live lying conveniently and walk in hypocrisy, it means your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. That's why you lie without feeling it. You deceive, you exaggerate, you create impressions without feeling it. Have you not seen this generation? People talk very bogus things, whereas there's no genuineness in it if you examine it carefully. Somebody tells you he went somewhere and 20 cripples walk, and you will never see anybody who has a bone condition healed when you are around. But they come to say lofty things in order to appear like angels among men. So we use all of these exaggerations to create a momentum around us, so much so that people think we are gods among men. There's no conscience in it. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Hear what Paul said. That's a man of faith. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry and that we have received mercy of the Lord, we faint not. And then he went further. See what he said in verse 2. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but have but the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You don't have to exaggerate for God to work power. You don't have to lie to create impression for God to work power. In fact, when you do that, you limit God. It is in our ordinariness that God is glorified. Quit all of this momentum and fakeness of this generation, appearing and creating impression so that people will see them in a particular way. That's why God deliberately decided to reduce the manifestation. Since you have talked yourself into appearing in a certain way, let your talk sustain you there. But if it is God, he will not be part of it. The mystery of faith is held in a pure conscience. The mystery of faith is held in a pure conscience. In Acts chapter 24 verse 16, Paul said, herein do I exercise myself to be void, to sustain a conscience that is void of offense before God and before man. Because Paul knows how faith works. See, be simple, be ordinary. God will show himself supernatural. You don't have to act in a certain way. You don't have to manipulate people to see you in a certain way to get God to work. There are many people, they can't even talk again, just to make you feel they are spiritual men. When you find them walking, they are walking in a certain way, as if they are in the third heaven. That's why after talking all the mysteries, nothing happens. Because the mystery of faith is held in a pure conscience. Meanwhile, you find an elder who comes and explains things casually and shows you his ordinariness. And when he says Jesus comes to show his supernatural ability, because this treasure is hid in earthen vessels, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. Our generation is too proud, and that's why there's hypocrisy, exaggeration, lying and deceit everywhere. From those who are preaching on the altar to those who are in business. Somebody says he's a businessman. In order for you to think he's a billionaire, the little money he should use to invest, he goes to buy a perfume of 6 million. He carries the capital of the business and buys a watch of 4 million. And then he shows up and he's walking like this. He now changes his voice. Yeah. What is happening? As we are talking, excuse me. Have you sent that 80 million? How about the person who is supposed to do the transaction of 600 million? How about that car? Did they bring that car from Germany? All right, I'll talk to you later. So you see, he's a liar. The reason he did all of that drama is so that he can beg you for money. He will now ask you for 20 million. You say, oh boy, this person that is talking 200 million casually, let me better win favor with him. Oh, the little 20 million that you have saved for 8 years, you will now give him, then you will not see him again. He will now go to London. What he was trying to do is to relocate to UK. And then you see him later. He said, look, it's God. God has helped us. Hey, we are people of faith. You are a liar. That's the error of the last days. Deception. Because we have given heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of devil. Now they even teach it in church and they call it packaging. Okay, package yourself. You are dressed the way you dress. And then you see all kinds of fakeness and vanity. And that's why the power of faith is diminishing by the day. I'm not talking against excellence. I'm not talking against carrying yourself in honor. The Bible said a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. But when he moves from the realm of honor to exaggeration and creating impression in order to be seen in a certain way, you have given heed to seducing spirits. You are a liar. The doctrines of devils is what you are practicing. And you will never walk in the mystery of faith. Because the mystery of faith is what? Is held in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5. Hear what Paul said. He said, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's a faith that is walked through purity. I don't need to create impression. If I get that contract, I know it is favor that made it happen. It's not manipulation. When you give me that contract, I know favor works in me. I don't need manipulation. If that miracle happens, I know it's the hand of God. I didn't create impression. I didn't need to build any momentum. God amongst his people is mighty. And so even if I'm in the pit, I can call on that God and he will answer. Why do you think Daniel was bold even in the lion's den? Because the God is serving, he's not using manipulation to no, that's who he is. And so their God answers even in the pit, even in the fire. They have a God that they can call on any day, anytime. Because of this, our deception and manipulation, we are not even sure which one works. And that's why results cannot be replicated. The mystery of faith is held in a pure conscience. This is the character of faith. Please don't be caught in this fast-moving generation that is interested in creating impression and not impact. Don't be caught in this fast-moving age that is interested in creating deception for the applause of men and is not willing to labor and have genuine impact. There's too much deception. There's too much treachery. Finally, as I try to round up, I have three more, but let me round up. Okay, I'll mention one and then touch on one a bit. The next character of faith is peace. Peace. Faith produces peace, and faith also imparts peace. In Hebrews 11:31, here's what the Bible says. He said, and what shall we more say? He said, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them. Shift a bit. Perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spices with peace. Every time faith is in operation, there's peace. And that's why Paul said, be anxious for nothing. He said, by all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let the peace of God that surpasses knowledge garrison your heart. And Nehemiah 8:10 said, that peace, that joy, that stillness and stability of the soul. He said, it is power. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There is a peace. There is a gravity. There is a stability. There is a joy. There is an immovability that faith imparts. If there is too much anxiety, then there is a challenge. Fear has come in. Doubt has come in. If it is faith, there is peace. Jesus woke up and said, peace be still. Peace be still. When faith is at work, there is peace. Peace is a character of faith. Many persons are full of turbulence. That's why they are talking, things are not happening. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's no stability because they've not found assurance in Christ. But the way you journey into that peace is to stay focused on the word, to stay within the boundary of the word. Everything that happens, let the word of God come first. If the word comes first, there will be peace. The reason turbulence comes into your spirit is because when you enter a circumstance, something else speaks to your soul before the word of God. And that's why the Bible admonishes that let the word of God dwell richly in us. Let the word of God dwell. If you find a man who is stable in the midst of the crisis, it's because he is rich in the word. And he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And finally, the character of faith is trial and tribulation. If you have not faced trials and tribulation, you don't know faith. And I'm showing you these things. Peace brings preservation in faith. Love brings the workability of faith, while a good conscience brings insurance to faith. All of these things have their purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, if you read it, he said, if you love life and want to see good days, he said, pursue peace. So what brings the preservative element of faith is the peace component of faith. He said, those who do not sustain a good conscience, that faith is shipwrecked. So what brings insurance to faith is good conscience. And he said, faith worketh by love. So what makes faith to work is love. So all of these things have their intrinsic impact on faith. And finally, is trials and tribulation. This one is what causes the capacity of your faith to grow. This is what deepens your conviction on a subject matter that you are working in. And so, trials and tribulations are not a curse. Sometimes God allows them because they toughen you and they deepen your conviction. You are not praying for it, but he says, if you go through the waters, you will not be drowned. If you go through the fire, you will not be burned. Many who don't understand faith think if they are walking in faith, there will be no trials. There will be no tribulation. Every time there's an attack, every time there's a trial, they say, Lord, where are you? I've been believing you. You don't know faith. If you are in faith, your faith will be tested. And many times is with trials. So when you are going through that trials, don't be perturbed. It is a necessary ingredient and component of faith. But at the end of the day, be assured of victory. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. James 1, 2. Get me those two scriptures quickly as I round up. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Deuteronomy 7:19. Elohim Adonai. He said, the great temptation which thy eyes saw. In another version, he called it the great trials and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand of God. So, faith is not just about signs and wonders. It comes with what? Great trials. In James chapter 1 verse 2, here's what it says. It said that the trials of your faith. It said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Go further. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is how you enter the faith of the elders. The reason, and that's why I showed you that Abraham's faith was garrisoned with patience. A faith that does not go through trials will not graduate to the faith of the elders. He said, the trials or the trying of your faith, he said, he worketh patience. And in Luke 22:28, Jesus was talking about those who endure trials with him. And so the faith life or the walk with Jesus is a walk of many trials. He said, yea, which have continued in my trials, in my temptations, in my tribulation. They continued. They didn't back down. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we continue into the promise. We continue into the manifestation. Too many Christians are not taught that trials are a component of Christianity. What they taught them are prophecies. Tomorrow there will be breakthrough. That's why you don't have stability in the Christian faith. This is why many people compromise. What do you want me to do? There's no food to eat, and so I had to. What do you want me to do? My son was sick. Did you read about church history? Your son was only sick, and because your son was sick, you compromised. How about those that their children were beheaded and they stood their ground? If everybody was to compromise like you, would there be Christianity today? Even though we understand their position and we feel compassion for them, we need to teach people the ruggedity and the doggedity of the spirit life, that nothing is enough to make you turn your back. Even if you are going through the fire, you are not the first and you will not be the last. You say the situation was difficult. Was it more difficult than Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who were thrown into the fire and they didn't change their mind? Oh king, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. Was it more deadly than Esther, who was losing her queenship and standing to defend Israel? If I perish, I perish. Is it more devastating than Daniel, who was to be thrown into the lion's den? Christians are not taught. Jesus spoke. He said, some of you will be in prison for 10 days. And he said, you will be killed. He said, but that is when you have the crown of life. How can life come after death? Because it is part of faith. And so when you are going through that crisis, it's not the time to question God. It's the time to put on the mantle of Abraham and say, like Abraham, I will not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. I know I'm 35, I'm not yet married, but I'm persuaded that God will not fail. I know I'm 40 and I'm not yet married, but I'm persuaded there is something about my destiny that is superior to marriage. Marriage alone will not define me. If I get married, thank God, but even if I don't, I will not back down. Paul said, what will separate us from the love of God? Romans chapter 8 verse 35. What will separate us? And he said, is it trials? Is it tribulation? Is it distress? Is it persecution? Is it famine? Is it nakedness? Is it peril? Or is it the sword? Paul was examining his faith and he was asking himself, what is that thing that is strong enough to take me out of the faith corridor? I'm not praying for evil, but even the devil knows, nothing that happens to me that will make me change my mind about my resolve about God. Nothing. Nothing. I've gone past that level. I can be homeless today and we still be celebrating this God. And this is not a preaching cliche. Even the devil knows. People think they understand faith because they speak, things happen. The real people who know faith are those who have gone to the pit. Did you not read about the elders? He said in Hebrews 11:39, he said they died in faith. They didn't change their mind. If I'm in the hospital today, on the sick bed, I will still be saying Jesus is my healer. I'll still be telling you I have eternal life. That sickness cannot make me change my confession. Because our faith is not just about results. Even if there are no results, we are still in faith. And sometimes people die in faith. He said they didn't receive the promise. He said, but they saw it afar off. They were persuaded that these things are true. The faith they teach today makes babes. Makes babes. Because it's a faith that is culminated by testimonies and manifestations. And that's why you no longer find people enduring persecution for Jesus. A lecturer will come up and tell you, I'm sorry, the reason I took the bribe to announce the fake result was because they've not paid us salary for 10 months. You are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. You were taught wrongly. You were taught wrongly. Did you see what Paul said in Acts 20:19? Paul said, we serve God with trials. So one of the ways to serve God, he said, is with trials. When we go through pain, it's also a testimony. When we go through challenges, tribulations, it's also a testimony. In 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, Peter said, don't make it look strange that you are going through trials. You are not the first. This is apostolic doctrine. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange has happened unto you. He said, when you go through trial, don't make it look as if something is strange. There's nothing strange about it. It's part of the Christian faith. God allows it so that patience can be weaved into your faith. God allows it so that your faith can be toughened. You are not in faith just because you pray for the blind. What if yourself were to become blind? Are you still going to believe in the power of God? You are not of faith because you spoke and somebody had a breakthrough. What if, like Job, your wealth vanishes? Will you still be in faith? Job's wife came to counsel him and say, why are you troubling yourself? Curse God and die. He said, why do you talk like the foolish women? Why do you talk like one of the foolish women? Do we only believe God because he blessed us? Even when they go through the valley of the shadow of death, they stand their ground. Because they don't only know God on the mountains, they know God even in the valley. They don't only know God in the light, they know God also in the dark. A generation of faith that does not only know God in the breakthrough, but knows God in the trial must rise if the kingdom will move forward. And I can tell you, the people who have faith to take the kingdom forward are not the ones that see miracles. They are the ones who can endure pains. They are the ones who can endure peril. If you study Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 36 down, the Bible says some of them endured cruel torture. It says some of them endured scourging. It says some of them were sawn asunder. They divided them into two. He said, but they didn't change their mind. When you are reading the top, instead they subdued kingdom, they obtained promises. You say, wow, this is the faith of the patriarchs. I walk in this kind of faith. He said they were scourged. He said they were sawn asunder. He said they didn't change their mind because they believed in a better resurrection. That is faith. This is the faith of Moses, the kind of faith that can reject the pleasures of Egypt. Don't you see the Christians today in their numbers who betrayed their country just because of money? One man rose up, carried dollars and splashed it. And INEC, lecturers, pastors, everybody, politicians, young and old, suddenly, even people who sat on national television, one from Cross River sat down, from River State, who says his governor, sat down and said, when he hears people say they want to continue the legacy of this government, he laughs at them and wonder what legacy. The same man is running with short nicker everywhere to change the result for the same government that he says he laughs at. What a word. And when you ask him, he says he's a Christian. He goes to church and he's celebrated. We don't know faith. Faith is not about result. It's about the character of the Spirit. And why is God teaching us this truth now? Because he wants to bring us into this economy. This is not wishing or prophesying evil to anyone, but this is a level of Christianity that is superior to crisis. This is a Christianity that brings you to a level where your experience does not fluctuate. Come what may, you are still standing. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In Romans 5 verse 3, Paul began to teach us that tribulation comes with a lot of blessings. Tribulation is not a curse. He said, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There is a glory in tribulation. And so for you who is going through crisis, God has not left you. For you who is going through crisis, you are not faithless. It's only a dimension of faith. Stand your ground. Don't change your confession. Don't change your convictions. Stand there. The Lord of heaven will appear. Faith is not just about commanding things and they happen. Faith is also the capacity to endure, because you believe that your God is beyond the miracle. Your God is a person. Your God is faithful. With or without miracle, you will stand your ground. Don't be perturbed. Don't be frustrated. Don't give up. You are not serving God because of things. You are serving God because of who he is. And the circumstances will change definitely if you stand long enough. And even if they don't change, it's better to die in faith than to change your conviction and go back. He said there is only one destination backward. It's called perdition.
He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We go forward and upward only, because that is the destiny and the destination of one who believes. This is the character of faith. Faith produces results, but over and above results, faith is also a good report. Over and above result, faith is also the operation of love. Over and above result, faith is also a peace that surpasses knowledge. Over and above result, faith is a good conscience. And over and above result, faith is the ability to stand through trials. I can go to the hospital and come back, I still believe Jesus is a healer. I can go through poverty and come back, I still believe that God blesses and his name is El Shaddai. Whatever happens, I will not change my confession. I rather die believing than to live without conviction. I pray for you today that everything faith represents, you will walk in it. All of the dimensions of faith you will manifest, because the Bible said they justified, they shall live by faith, and you will not live anything less or anything otherwise. Every area of your life where your faith is being challenged, I decree over you now, step into victory. Step into victory. Walk into prevailing dominion and let your experience become a testimony, because at the end, it will be said concerning you, you have fought a good fight of faith. You have kept the faith, and there remained for you a crown of life. So, let it be written. And so, let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Can we have two testimonies? Because what we are doing is not a lecture. Quickly, two testimonies.
Here.
Quickly. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Yes, not to be. Not the first one.
Sister Monica in Norway.
Sister Monica from Norway.
She said, my husband is suffering from throat cancer.
And
has been having difficulty swallowing.
This lady is not here. She's in Norway. She's not even the one. She's standing in for the husband. What happened now?
Since as we prayed, he sat up and started drinking water easily. Something he couldn't.
Somebody has just been healed of throat cancer from Norway. Faith is now. Elohim Adonai. Sister Monica from Norway, we decree that blessing and that healing is permanent in the name of Jesus. Throat cancer from Norway, could not swallow. The moment declarations were made, sat up and began to drink water. Who did this? Talk to me. Next testimony, please.
This is from Confidence in Ghana.
Confidence from Ghana.
She said she had a lung or chest pain. Well, you gave a word that someone has lung condition and then
chest pain. Lung condition, yes, that also caused chest pain.
Yes.
What happened now?
She decreed that pain has vanished.
The pain vanished?
Yes, sir.
From Ghana, I decree this permanent in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Go, Father.
An anonymous person said, I thank God Almighty for healing me from lower abdominal pain for
Pain for over 3 years.
He said, I've taken drugs and other, but no avail.
He's taking drugs, but right now the pain is gone.
Yes, sir.
Give the Lord a big hand. Two more, quickly.
Then there's Javon Elizabeth from the United States.
Javon Elizabeth from United States of America.
Last night I was under great attack and it began to make me very sick and I vomited 3 times this morning.
Last night, up till now, she's vomited 3 times and under great attack.
And wasn't able to go to church.
She could not even go to church.
But as I was watching Apostle Michael and he began to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God quickened me. Now I'm feeling better. Praise
God. Give the Lord a big hand.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallujah. Now, okay, last one.
There's another one from Norway as well.
Norway again. I have to look deep into Norway.
He said, I want to return all glory to God. I've been oppressed by the spirit of heaviness and depression. Immediately, Papa declared. He says, immediately, Papa declared, I felt light now. Thank you, Jesus.
It is permanent in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, why did I do this teaching? Number one, to stir your appetite for manifestation. Faith is not just a doctrine. Yes, it is a doctrine, but that doctrine ends in authority. Authority that produces results. And secondly, why did I teach this?
so that you will know the ingredients your faith require in order to be holistic, not only having manifestation but having approval in the realm of God. That's why I spoke about reverence, about patience, about humility, and then I spoke about love, I spoke about peace, I spoke about a good conscience, and I spoke about trials and tribulation. You understand the subject holistically because you will walk by faith and not by sight.
There's one from Israel.
Israel!
Yes, sir.
I love Israel.
It says, my name is Mr. Emenike. I thank God for healing me of a sharp chest pain.
Sharp chest pain from Israel.
While I was at work today, I felt a sudden sharp pain under my left chest region. It was as if something hit me there. But during the prayers now, I suddenly discovered the pain is no more. All glory to God.
Give the Lord a big hand. And so if you have a good conscience, if you are full of love, just go ahead and manifest your faith. And remember, faith operates as a gift. There's a word of faith which is a product of your revelation. And also there's a spirit of faith which is a realm that you are summoned into. We are rounding up now. On Tuesday, I will deal more with the dynamics of faith, even as we trust God for more ministrations and deeper understanding of the subject. If you are just joining the service or you joined while I started teaching, you've not taken your offering, given your offering, please feel free to cast your seed now as the Lord will bless you. Again, on Sunday next week, we are going to start our meetings on ground. We'll resume our meetings on ground at OPIC Event Center. It's at Galadimawa Junction. That's where When Women Pray use for their meetings. And so you will do good if you're in Abuja to connect with us there. The flyer will be uploaded for you now to see. And then we're also going to communicate that information to you. Put it down. OPIC Event Center. When Women Pray Prayer Tent, Galadimawa Junction. It's a place you want to be. On Sunday, we'll kick off on ground as the Lord will do us good. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. You're going out and you're coming in is blessed. I decree concerning you, you will not just hear about faith, but you will manifest it and you will walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. So let it be written and so let it be established in Jesus' precious name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.